I'm trying to think of how to answer that in a couple sentences, and the best way to say that is the best way to answer this is the certifications are done by several different standards bodies. So the Common Criteria is a standards group that is, or I say certification system that is recognized by FIPS and a few other organizations. EMV is also one of those organizations that does standardization. So those two we recognize as a certification for the OS and for the chip, where the Common Criteria is more focused on the chip or the secure platform, and EMVCO is more concentrated on the OS. The Common Criteria does either system that proves a secure system we rely on.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go over a presentation a little bit later this morning about certification, and I think that'll answer your question there. So the question was about who does a certification for the OS and for the secure chip, and so I have a presentation coming up a little bit later that goes into a little bit more detail about these things. So. For now, the idea here is that we're establishing a idea of what is a secure system, okay? So a little bit higher level than what you want to get into. So we have the secure chip system. We have a third-party qualification or certification. In this situation, we're talking about the compliance program or certification program. I use two different words because the compliance program is something we put together for a Go Platform compliant product on a secure element. We do not certify the secure element itself. We do this compliance and other functional testing on top of it. However, for the TEE, we do certification for it. It is a software-based system, and we go through a series of testing to make sure it is certified. And we'll go into that more detail in a later presentation. And we also have the anchor, or trust anchor, you want to call it, for the services. So the trust anchor is a way for us to trust the device. As Kevin mentioned, we're working on the root of trust scenario, a root of trust system at this point. The root of trust is still the definition of root of trust is in Segwit platform still to be specified out. How do we attain a root of trust on a secure element or on the TEE? We do have a system that is in place that gives you the knowledge that your system that you've your communication system you put in place is, at this point, talking to something you can authenticate.
By the root anchor, because you are not that, right? So you are, for example, if somebody using global platform or TV, like the U.S. government, they may have a root that would put on all the secure elements that would be using that root.
Correct. Right. So the question is what is the root anchor? And so that is still being whether it is the U.S. government, whether it's a third-party organization that has a root of trust that they can put onto a device that can be trusted. So. One of the strengths of Global Platform, one of the things that Global Platform provides is the post-issuance, being able to install an application after the device or after the card is in a person's hands. So there is the idea of having the root anchor inside the element before it or at the 0 hour when it is produced. And there's also the idea of installing a root anchor, that root of trust after it is in somebody's hand or post-issuance. And that is what we're striving for now, is establishing how do you put that root of trust into a card as in somebody's hands. That's already been issued. Right? Does that answer your question? So versus the grand helicopter view, we have APIs for the applications of how the applications run on a Go platform system. What can they do to provide functionality for themselves? As in, do they have the ability to communicate outside the chip, or do they have the ability to display themselves onto the user screen and so forth? We also have APIs for application management. As I mentioned, post-issuance, as in a mobile device is in your customer's hands already, how do you install the new app, a new trusted app, a mobile identity, for instance? So the APIs are available for also managing, downloading that app to the device, personalizing it with your customer's credentials, and then lifecycle management as the as a customer possibly either leaves or changes services. So the overall goal of Go platform is to provide that secure anchor or trust anchor on the end user side, that we can protect the applications that are performing the functions for the user, identifying themselves to your facility, also protect the data, the credit card numbers or other information about that user. How much better? I actually see now. Sorry, I wear bifocals and I'm going, this is not going to work anymore. Also provide the service provider a level of trust or risk management. So we do have a system that has able to trust. In other words, we know our services can be deployed in a system that is trustworthy or authenticatable. And finally, with our standardization, we can make sure that this is an architecture that is interoperable, is ready for the market today, so that you can provide services to your customers from anybody that does a Go platform related product, and they're going to work the same. So able to provide services across platforms. So Kevin mentioned this a little bit earlier, and this is more of a conceptual view. So when we're talking about the rich OS or the operating system on a device, like the Apple iOS or the Android, we're talking about a system that is, of course, very permeable. Is that the right word? Porous, probably a better word. How many of you have rooted your Android or jailbroken your Apple phone? Nobody's going to raise their hands. This is a government in crypto conference. Good for you. So, but that is done, unfortunately, rather common. And once you break into an OS, how do you know that the system is still trustable? So one of the ideas is the trusted execution environment. That is a system that is based on a root or a root key that is stored securely. There we go. Either in a secure element or in a trusted service. So we have the rich OS providing the user interface, the user systems. The arrows going up means here that I have the ability from the trusted execution environment to show a user interface, specifically one called a trusted user interface, that allows for a user enter some kind of credentials into their handset that is going through a trusted system that is known from the trusted execution environment that cannot be is secure, cannot be seen by a third party or by an interloper. The ease of deployment, the The whole idea here is for the first use of an environment is to make a transition between the easy deployment of a Android iOS system. When I teach, for example, when I teach the card specifications and I get into the TEE, I ask how many people here develop on Java, and most of the room raises their hand. How many people here know what ever develop on a Java card, and it's usually 1/10 or less. So providing a way to reach more developers in a with still secure systems. And of course, processing speed from a rich OS and transition environment is much greater than that of a crypto processor sitting on a limited space, limited processing power for a secure element. Yes. We have the architecture with the API what we're looking for. The specifications of how you deploy on a Java card or a Multos environment. Any customer is able to put their Java card, put the Java platform onto their other environment. So far, Java card is 99.9%. So don't see anybody else putting on another type of system. Okay, so the secure element. So I'll repeat the question inside the answer. The secure element that is running is a Java card system that is embedded on a phone or in a UICC. It is a chip that is separated from the rest of the device. So it is itself a self-contained computer. It has its own crypto processor, has its own memory, has its own system that is running a Java card or other OS, a Multos OS type system. And that is what is communicating or what is holding the applications for your customers. So it is a separate system, it is not part of the rich OS or the Android or iOS system. Okay, so the question here is about does a mobile device have to have a secure element in order to use Google Platform? And the simple answer is yes. In the case of Apple, the Apple 6 has an embedded secure element. So they're using the Google Platform specs on managing their Apple Pay. So when you run your Apple Pay application, you're communicating with that secure element. Or I should say Apple Pay application is communicating with a secure element for the credit card information for the user.
So iPhone 6 has a Java card or a
Motor? It's a Java card. Well, let me back up a little bit. So Apple has not announced what they have. So you can say that Apple has a Java card, a Multos, who knows? It's Google Platform compliant. So getting back to this, the Java card or the secure element does have much more attack resistance and access control. So you have to have a secure channel set up, and we're getting to this a little bit later. Secure channel set up in order to communicate with the secure element. There is the ability for the rich OS to interact with the secure element through a secure channel so that I can see applications running inside the secure element and be able to interact with them. As mentioned, Apple Pay, when your Apple Pay application does communicate down to the secure element to allow for cards to be selected and so forth, so that if you have more than one credit card, you can choose which credit card you want to use, and that is a command sent to the secure element that says, make my Visa card or my MasterCard or my American Express card now active. Okay? And now the one final thing is it says physically removable, and that the chip is a separate chip from the system. So it can be in UICC or on a separate PCB board inside the device if it's embedded. So the idea is having a center of service deployment, have the ability to have a trusted environment in the middle of where your application is running, the user, the service provider on the outside, so that the TEE, in this case, it provides a unique capability to ensure the transaction, and it has three things here. That takes place in a trust on the right and trusted device. The main idea here is that the TEE is providing a way to make sure your application is able to be trusted. It does make sure the communication between itself and a back-end system is also trusted and secure. And also make sure the end user interaction is also trusted and secure. For the secure element is again is a tamper resistant platform. So the main idea here is that it is a separate silicon, as I mentioned before, sitting on either the mobile device or on your credit card, EMV based credit card, a separate silicon device that has its own ability to manage itself. Has this ability that if it sees a tamper. Let me rephrase that. He's an attack, either physical or through a software access. It has the ability to resist those attacks and also to, in some cases, shut itself down. If it sees that it's being, in the case of an embedded secure element, it actually looks at, if it sees an optical system, in other words, somebody's trying to pry the chip off the board, it can shut itself down. So these are some of the security requirements that are implemented by the common criteria, what's called a protection profile. The protection profile is what we build in order to make sure that a secure system is secured. That every attack possible is somehow thwarted. Now, one other thing for this is how do we communicate to the secure element? Is through what's called a secure channel protocol. And I list several here that are, there's more than this, but I want to list these three that are related to the secure ID identification system. One of those is the FIPS 201 that has influenced the AIS. In other words, we have put forward specifications called the SCP-03. Which is AES-based communication. There's also an SCP-11 that is ECC-based, and that includes the specifications from both NIST and BSI. For those of you who don't know, BSI is the Federal Security Institute, I want to say that, of Germany. There are. So the brain trusts are different sizes. BSI uses brain trust size systems for ECC. The NIST uses the elliptic curve, the standard elliptic curve sizes. I gotta get the right terminology there. But they're different algorithms for the ECC encryption. Yes, so the PIV card requires AES.
But that AES is specified on 140-2.
It is as well. And then the SCP-22, which is now under public it's under review. I'm not sure if it's in public review or not, but it's in member review at least, is for opacity blinded, which is part of the NSSB 10.12 work. There's also part of BSI in there as well, but the The opacity blinded part of this is something that NCIST is working on currently. So for the solution, the main point here is that we have a cross-entity or cross-industry interoperability system. It allows for you to be able to manage the applications across any type of system, as long as it supports the global platform certifications on a secure element or on a TEE. It is something that you can deploy your application. So it's scalable and also provides the end-to-end security. And that is it from this portion. So any more questions on the overview of a secure element in TEE? Yes.
So just to clarify, all true, but I think what's happening is that those 5201 cards require a FIPS 140-2 certificate. So as long as it meets all the FIPS 140-2 requirements, of which AES is a part, it turns out underlying that is part of SEP 3, for example, then you can pass the whole process. So these are actually both in harmony with the statements.
Yeah. And the SEP standard is much more about the bits and bytes. Underlying crypto primitives are AES as defined by NIST or ECC in case of SCP-11. Global platform doesn't in any way define crypto. What it defines is how you actually bits and bytes of the protocol and wire, so you can actually exchange.
Okay, so opacity is a way of doing from the very beginning of a communication to be encrypted. Instead of having an exchange of keys, the very first communication is encrypted. It's called opacity. And so that is if you do a public search on it, you may not be able to find it very much on it. It's a brand new idea. Well, I say brand new idea. It's been around for a little while, but it's just now getting steam inside of both the Global Platform and inside of NCIST and a couple other organizations.
So SCP-22 would be using either of the two algorithms but added some opacity to that two algorithms?
No, so the SCP-22 uses the opacity to establish a connection between an outside server and or an internet server and a secure element. So the SCP... The underlying crypto between on opacity being used as ECC.
Okay, so it's the second.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's a different setup than the standard ECC.
It's just variations of ECC
technology. Opacity is one part, and only authentication one end of the
opacity has three variations.
Yeah. The one being used. Particularly useful for contactless chips, because it's a single pass. You don't have to have you can get it done while people are tapping the card. You're not hanging on to multiple passes of so that's why.